Welcome to this day two of retreat. I hope you had a silent, peaceful rest of the day and nighttime. And today I want to continue to develop this theme of, or expand upon this theme of willingness that we were talking about yesterday. So willingness to see what we really are. Usually by this point in our awakening has really developed anyway, because we've suffered so much and our life as a separate being hasn't been what we wanted it to be. Usually it's very rare. In fact, you know, I don't think I've ever found anyone that came to satsang and said to me, you know what, my life was amazing as a separate being. It was just perfect. Everything worked out fine. And I was really happy and successful and, you know, in everything that I did. Perhaps for most of us, it's the opposite. My life as a separate being just didn't really work very well at all. And even if there wasn't any kind of outer reason for why we're feeling that disharmony, despair with being a separate being, why we feel this call within to wake up to the truth, it is there for all of us. However we came to satsang, to retreat, is different for each one of us, whatever drove us there. But the suffering is the same inside. So the willingness to want to see clearly is quite often already an extraordinarily strong desire, because we could just say that willingness is desire, very, very similar energy. And really, what holds us back is the willingness to let what we've seen take over the rest of our lives, change our thought process. So number two and number three of those stages, for want of a better word, because they're happening concurrently, the seeing and the changing of our thought process. So it's not one or the other. But there can be such a force of habit in the way that we think about certain things, about ourselves, about situations in our life, about awakening, any subject at all. Most human beings have some very entrenched thought processes that perhaps we're not even conscious of. And we might even only notice that they no longer fit with our paradigm of reality because of the negative emotion that it brings up, the feeling in our body. So sometimes that willingness to change our thought process, examine our thought process, could use a little work. And it certainly was for me. Life dragged me through that process. And eventually I realized it was about willingness, and then it got a lot easier. So I really wanted to look into that today, to maybe expand upon that. How do we, when some old emotion comes up or some experience happens that's happened to us again and again and again, when our mind's doing that kind of crazy thing that it does, how do we develop a willingness to kind of look at that in a non-judgmental light? So from the self, from our infinite being. Most of us, out of habit, go to look at those thoughts and emotions from our separate sense of self, where we tend to reject them, push them away, not want to feel them, resist them. And really awakening is a shift over of where we're looking from, a deeper and deeper seeing that we're already the self, the infinite being. And that's where we're looking at these thoughts from, these mind patterns, these old habitual ways of thinking that are showing up as our emotions and then our experience in the world. And for me, two things were particularly challenging in that. The first was an ability to see. So something I'm seeing clearer and clearer, I'm getting deeper in my meditation, then some emotion comes to the surface, or my body got ill, or something happened in my finances, or I had an argument with someone. You know how it goes, right? You just going along happily, you've had this aha moment, a deeper seeing, and you're just kind of sliding along in that place where you feel you'll never lose that seeing. You could never lose the truth ever again, because it just seems so clear in that moment. And then some old thing comes up. For me, the willingness to look at that and not push it away was really, really hard, really challenging. And as much as I wanted to wake up, there was equal and opposite, as much as I wanted to live from the truth that I was seeing, I should say, there was equal and opposite resistance to looking at this thing that's come up, which is the way we live as the infinite being. Actually looking at this, what is this about, with some curiosity, and examining it in the light of unconditional love. This is an old thought process that's been very well believed. Therefore, my mind is very aligned with it and really feels justified in thinking and feeling this way. So an example, I have an argument with someone, then my thought process out of habit would go to trying to make that other person wrong. Usually trying to think of all the witty responses that I could have said at the time, but didn't have the comebacks. If you've ever had an argument like that with someone, and your mind spends half an hour, maybe a day afterwards, rewriting the conversation to make it so that you won and you were the wittiest and you were the fastest with the comebacks. So how do we go against that tide, that surge, that pull to think about it in the same old way? And I'm sure you've felt this kind of something is really using this situation. Our egoic sense of self is really using what's happened to fuel the thought stream, to kind of talk about it and sustain the separate sense of self. And there's a real gravitational pull to go with those thoughts. And even if we want to stay in the open space of the infinite being in that moment, it may not feel like we have a choice before we realize 2 hours have gone past and we've been really lost in our thoughts. So for me, that was the first difficult thing, very challenging. How do I find the ability to always examine my thoughts rather than believe them? Where does that come from? I realized that other awakened beings must have achieved that somehow to make it a habit. When something comes up, even if there's resistance to looking at it, that resistance is also just held in the space of my being. How do I do that every time? How do I make that an automatic habit? And then once I figured that out, the willingness to look at it, how do I then change my thought process into if the infinite being could be said to think, it does it as a human being, how would the thought process be different in an awakened being than in our old egoic sense of self? And for me, those seemed impossible. And some of the darkest places, some of the most challenging times, some of the times where I completely gave up and walked away from the path, some of the times when I just sat and cried because I, sitting in this very room, not believing that I could ever even want to, that I should even want to wake up, because it was impossible for me. It seemed impossible to overcome this deep gravitational pull of the mind. Even more annoying sometimes is perhaps some thoughts I could just kind of let go of, and other ones just seem to have such a power to kind of hold me, my attention in that. And that was the hardest place to be for me. So it became all-encompassing to try to, the most important thing, to try to find out where and how I could move to a place. How did these awakened beings do this in the past? And I'd read just about every spiritual book you could get your hands on non-duality books. Listened to every single thing I could listen to, but every awakened teacher I could ever find, ever. And that was ongoing, constantly. And I'd hear them say things like, just be the awareness and stay as the self in those moments. Don't go with the thoughts. And I just struggled for a great period of time where I just didn't know how to do that. To me, that advice was helpful, but also frustrating. How do I stay as the infinite being when this same old urge to make someone wrong and to feel right arises in myself? What do I do then? What do I do when my attention has automatically gone with thoughts in that moment before I even realize? How do I stay as the self then? What does that mean? What does it look like? And then how would I ever know, even if I managed to do that, what the self would think like? What the infinite being, the thought process of the infinite being would be? How could I replace that with something different? So a great amount of time in my awakening was spent at looking at something that felt impossible to do. And for a while that was utterly depressing. And maybe you've been there yourself. You know, this thing comes up and it's so strong. And there's such a momentum of habit to go that same old way. That I might have a momentary glimpse of myself, my attention being pulled into that thought process. And just being very dimly aware of the same old emotions arising before I'm gone. I'm lost for at least a couple of hours, sometimes a couple of days. Being angry at something, someone, being angry at myself, feeling unworthy. Afterwards, when I come back to clarity that I've been gone for 2 days, then shame and unworthiness and everything else on top of that, which was equally seductive. And I felt equally powerless to kind of stop doing that too. And then even when I was aware that that was half of the challenge, most of the challenge, in fact, I went with illusion. I got lost in thoughts and it would have been over when I came back to clarity, but I continued it every time by feeling ashamed of that. And maybe again, you've been there yourself. I shouldn't be doing this anymore. I should be able to be beyond this. I should be able to be the self, the infinite being in those moments, to stay as the silence, the infinite awareness, whatever that means in that moment. So these were two of the hardest places. And after finding something impossible, and trying every which way around I could, every strategy that my mind came up with, and failing over and over again, getting lost in the same old thought patterns again and again and again. And that cycle of getting lost, coming back to clarity, blaming myself, coming back to clarity, getting lost, was just speeding up too, like faster and faster and faster. The same old people, the same old arguments, the same old unworthiness, the same old lack of money, the same old real intense rage inside myself because I couldn't seem to get beyond this. Rage mostly at myself. I was even angry with all the teachers at one point, I think, because, you know, somebody should have left a clearer map. That was the tantrum I was having at that point. So how did they turn the impossible to the possible? Looking at it from the awakened state, where I can only lovingly accept whatever my mind and body gives me to examine, which is what we're doing in the silent sitting, in the meditation. That's where being the awakened self in those moments, we're just being that silence, that's sitting with what is, whatever that is that's given to us by a feeling in our body or an emotion or some thoughts or an experience that happens. That's what we're doing, or that's what we're being. I began to really question intensely, like my life depended on it. What is it that the sages did that I haven't quite figured out yet? And I began to feel excited for the first time in a long time because I realized that my thought process had shifted already. Instead of just blaming myself for not being able to do it, it occurred to me, quite a huge insight actually, that maybe I just hadn't seen the right way to do it yet. Maybe I'd been failing because I've been trying the same old thing over and over. So I knew that there must be an answer somewhere, and I knew if I focused on it intensely enough, life would give it to me somehow. And I remember one day listening to, watching a Muji satsang, and he was taking this woman through some self-inquiry, and she had this massive epiphany. I mean, a massive, explosive, you know, the one that we all think we're going to have, like a massive, where she kind of fell down on the floor and was laughing and crying. And I think they had to carry her off and take her outside and give her some water and all that stuff. And I just exploded in that moment. I was so angry, really angry, why that couldn't happen to me. Really, really angry. And the next person who came up to speak to him said, "I want that too." And it literally just voiced what was going on inside. "I want that too," this person said, "but I can't have it. I've been trying for years and it's impossible." They actually said that word, impossible. At this point, I'm like, have you seen the meerkats? I'm like, something's going to happen here, right? I was like, they said that word because they were feeling, they were just feeling exactly as I was like ready to explode. I couldn't even leave the pathway anymore. I think I only ever managed to quit non-duality for like 5 minutes at a time anyway, before I realized and found myself watching yet another satsang. So I'm excited and I'm also really furious at everything at the same time. Strange combination. And he said one sentence, and it's only a few words, and it was enough to smash through whatever this person that was at the microphone was holding on to. And it didn't cause me to explode, but it did shift my whole paradigm. It became a little mantra that really helped in those darkest moments and got me through actually the rest of awakening and life, and still does. And he simply said, because this person had just said, "I've been trying for years and it's impossible." He said, "Nothing is impossible for the self." Just those words. And I realized in that moment that I've been thinking like a separate being, a powerless, finite, limited, separate being. How do I not go with the mind when it does its thing? It's impossible for a separate being not to go with the mind. Impossible. And for the self, it's impossible to go with the mind. And I was like, I don't think I slept that night. Something shifted. I was just lying in bed going, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." And it didn't explode when I actually heard those words, but it began to explode over the next 24 hours or something. I don't know. And I realized that that was the pivotal thing for me. If I am the self already, there must be some power within me that can resist this temptation, this seduction, this come over here and feel angry and be a victim again, you know, that the mind was saying. If I am already the infinite being, there must be some power that is stronger than the mind already, something. And I didn't know where that was. I didn't know how to access it, but I was excited because there was finally a way forward that there hadn't been in a very long time. If you've ever been in that place, it does feel like the depths of hell. You don't know the way forward. You can't go back. And I didn't even have anyone to talk to about this at the time. I was just sitting in this room feeling depressed. So I'm excited for the first time ever. And the kids just kind of looked at me and said, oh, she's been watching Muji again, you know. First one moment I'm shouting at the screen, and the next I'm crying and, you know, enjoying excitement. So I set about being determined to put this into action. As I felt the next time something arose, and of course life was very cooperative at giving me an opportunity to practice this. I think within a couple of hours, the kids were fighting, and up comes this unworthiness. You know, if I was a better parent, this would not be occurring. And the urge to feel not good enough was so overwhelmingly strong. I really want to go with these thoughts. And in that moment, something just said, there is a greater power than this. And that thought was just like a lifesaver. So, okay, what is that? Where is that? How do I bring that forth now? Because I've got about 2.5 seconds before I get drawn into the mind. You can feel it happening sometimes, right? You can just feel, here I go. And just that, where is it? What is it? That openness. Something changed. I don't know. I mean, I obviously know now what that was, but I didn't know at the time. Something opened up inside. That power was there, but I never called upon it. The power that I am is the infinite being. The same power that creates all these planets, stars, galaxies. The same driving force behind all of creation is in every single cell of my being, of my body. And I just hadn't really realized what it meant to be the self in this way, to be the infinite being. So I didn't know how to call upon it, but I just knew I needed it. And in that moment, something just kind of, my mind just kind of slipped a little bit away from me. Just knowing that power was there was all it took to activate, and that I had been thinking like a separate being. And that as the power that creates and sustains all of this, I mean, how big is the universe? If we just take a moment to think about that, we could never get to the end of exploring it. That same power is speaking these words right now and is listening. It's not a power I have, it's a power I am. In the unmanifest, it's just pure, raw power. And that power has no challenge at all with the mind. At all. And it's even impossible for it to get caught. And I could see that throughout my whole life, this one idea that I am powerless or at the effect of the mind had been running my entire life, all of it, everything. And this was perhaps one of the most earth-shattering revelations of my entire awakening, that I had believed up until that point that the mind was in control of me. And I've been really experiencing that as very real. All of that suffering was from that thing only. And then to have it flip on its head and say, well, I'm the power that creates the mind. I might look like a human being, but I most certainly am not. That's just the shape I'm playing with. And I'm not going to say that I lived happily ever after from there on. You know, sometimes I still got lost, but as soon as I remembered, it was immediately straight back out of it again. And it actually even became fun to go with the thoughts out of habit and then to have a moment, hang on, I don't need to do this. It's optional now. Where I interact with the mind from, it's an option, choice. That I could never get lost again for any significant length of time. That power has always been there, that I'd always been safe in that way, and yet had to experience not being in control, not being powerful, to cause me to kind of recognize and question this greatest power of all, the only power there is, which really, you know, it's like a little flea jumping around on a dog, not even as irritating as that, the mind to the self. A speck of dust floating through an infinite cosmos, the mind to the self, to the infinite being. Utterly beautiful from the perspective of the self. Look at this mind. Wow, look at what it thinks is true. That's amazing. And yet totally, totally in love with the mind, and yet no ability to believe it at all. And it was just like someone flipped a switch on my awakening when I really got in this, understood it. And I guess I flipped a switch. Maybe that's what all of this is about. Can you imagine how you would feel each and every day if you knew, I mean, like really knew, right down in your gut, that you could no longer get lost in the mind ever? That mind, for the rest of eternity, even when this body goes and another one comes, if you want to, however many bodies come after this, whatever the mind might say, whatever you go through, for the rest of forever, you could never get lost again. That all you could do, your only response was to, that's interesting, let me have a look at that. Doesn't mean it always feels pleasant in the body, something comes up, but to only have the option to lovingly examine. And that can flip right now if you really get this. If you really get this, the next time you get lost, you remember to call upon this greatest power. As soon as you remember, as soon as you come back, have a moment of clarity, you can even ask for help. You can ask all the awakened beings that don't have a body, those that do even, when I'm about to do that, when I'm about to go there, will you remind me? And you might have heard me talk about my Jesus moments. And this was the thing I had this real connection with Christ, still do. Not separate to me, but a rich and deep intimacy. And I asked, please show me, remind me in those moments. And this thought would come up in those moments. You have another choice right now. You have another option. And it would just be enough to remind me of the infinite wealth of resources, that I'm not finite and limited and powerless over anything, least of all my own mind. My mind is something I've given birth to try to explore the physical reality, to compare and contrast. But it's utterly untrue. It's something that works for me. It's not true that I am at the effect of it. And I'm saying all of this because every single spiritual problem that you come across for the rest of forever on your pathway will be this. Do you believe the thought, or do you go beyond it? And the very moment you stop believing the thought that you have to believe thoughts, something fundamental is going to change. Everything will change for you. Like you're watching the mind like a scientist looks through a microscope at something in a little petri dish. Like, wow, that's interesting. You know, just, wow, that's really something to behold. But with no fear of the mind, no hatred of it. It's not possible when it has no power over you and it's clearly seen. And I know just as well as anyone that it really, really feels like that in some moments. Could that be this one idea that you are powerless over it? And what if that has never been true? We've just been using this infinite power that we are to infinitely experience this thought, I am powerless over my mind. As if somehow the great being, the infinite being, wanted to experience feeling limited and powerless somehow for some reason. in order to come back for the joy of coming back to our infinite resources. There's nothing wrong with using that power. You're using it anyway, perhaps to believe thoughts and experience them. You may as well use it in a conscious way. It is what you are. It's the power that holds each and every body together, each and every atom together. It's the power that you see the most beautiful sunset when a baby's born, when a star goes supernova, when a black hole sucks everything into it, when two beings get married, when you find a best friend, when you listen to the most beautiful piece of music and all you can do is cry. It's that same power. And it's available in the most ordinary of moments like this. Because this is the one thing that I would have wanted on my journey sooner than I figured it out or got the help of the insight. I was finally open enough to stop resisting the help that was trying to be given by from so many places. I would have wanted to know how to go beyond the mind faster and more consistently and effortlessly to make it so clear that that's the only option. That I was just feeling so free in every moment that no matter what happened, no matter what came up, and things still come up for me, by the way. Yesterday, I had a few tears because something came up for me to look at. Quite surprised me in its intensity. And still, the only thing I could do was to look at it and fall in love with it. It's very few and far between now that something comes up as strongly as that. But even if it does or doesn't, the response is the same. Open acceptance, like we're practicing loving compassion for the mind. That is what we're doing in the silent sittings that we're going to move into next. Let me double check my schedule before I contradict myself. So will you align yourself with this greatest power? Will you see clearly through this thought that you are powerless over mind? Yes, we've experienced that ad infinitum. We've experienced the mind being stronger than us as a separate being, over and over and over. So much so that maybe we never even dared to hope. But if you take this nugget, and ask, please, help me in these moments. Remind me, bring me back to clarity. Remind me I have a choice here. And I don't even need to know how that power gets kind of brought forth or activated in this way. It just does. It is what you are. It's just this one idea that's been obscuring the whole thing. I don't have power over my mind. And it comes at 3 o'clock in the morning when you're trying to sleep and it's doing its crazy, crazy thing and it makes your body feel so contracted. And you're exhausted by it because it's just talking incessantly. It really feels in those moments, doesn't it, that there's nothing you can do. But nothing could be further from the truth. You are the universe itself, thinking itself to be a separate human being, and then experiencing that as if it's very real. But it's never been true, and you have all these resources, physical, non-physical, to help you. And, you know, a lot of the worst parts of my awakening I got through with prayer. Which is more like begging, begging and pleading. Just get me out of this pain. And I'll meditate every day. I'll start meditating every day. I really, really will this time. Really, really. And my prayer just in the end was just help me. two words, help me, because that's all I could remember in those moments. And I call them my Jesus moments, because in that moment, there was this real strong reminder. This is not who you are. You're not limited at all. And time just seemed to stop in those moments, really slow down. And I had time and space then to make a different choice. I choose to be that greatest power. So I'd like to invite you to choose that too. Maybe you already did while I'm talking. Maybe I've sold you enough on it to choose it. And you'll forget. Every now and again, you'll imagine yourself, probably quite frequently, you'll imagine yourself to be a separate, limited, powerless being again of your mind, of your emotions. And when we're not making them wrong, we're just saying it's not true that we're at the effect of them. And, you know, within a couple of days of doing this, you'll start to laugh. When you realize you've been caught in the mind again, you'll start to laugh. It will be so funny. Like, wow, I had 2 hours of complete insanity where I was like, to everyone that was around me and to myself. And the kids are suddenly finding something very urgent to do up in their bedrooms, you know. And you'd be like, whoa, that was so, and you can go apologize to the kids, as I've done many times, said, actually, had a moment of insanity. I'm over it now. It's all good. And they just kind of laugh. Usually they tell me I need to watch more Muji at that point, you know. So I hope that is inspirational. I hope it is practical. I hope it is simple too, because that's what we need in those moments, isn't it? And maybe you had one during the nighttime while we were offline. One of those moments. And maybe you could set a reminder on your phone. Am I being that greatest power? Maybe you could write a note, stick it somewhere, you're going to see it. For me, that was the fridge. That was my go-to place. Actually, I stuck it everywhere in the house. I was pretty determined. I even put a little post-it note in my slippers. So when I got out of bed in the morning, I put my feet in them. There it was. Something like that. So I would urge you to make that choice. It is never true that anything at all or anyone has power over you. Least of all, the mind. The moment you get that, it falls in line and becomes a vehicle to show you everything gently that needs examining again until you look at it. Right.